Great to have your company on a beautiful Wednesday morning outside. Traffic's flowing nicely and it's nice to be with you. SEN Breakfast for Melbourne Airport Valet. Simply drive up and hand us the keys. We'll take care of the rest. Jack Heverin in for Gary Lyon this morning. Tim Watson is here. A lot of you asking on the text this morning. We've been calling in as well, asking about Gary and asking how he's going. We're, as you can appreciate, in a fairly difficult time for a lot of us, but for Gary in particular and his close friendship with Spud, we're just giving him the time that he needs to get himself right, and he will return sooner rather than later. So big thanks to everyone for your text and asking the question. He'll know that you were asking about it. Trust us. We'll make sure that we let him know, and he'll be back sooner rather than later. Daisy Pierce is here. Hello, Daisy.
Hey, guys. Good to join you on what's been a hard week. I think everyone's feeling it in here, and it's been
a sad week, Daisy.
Yeah, tough week
and continues to be, yeah. Did you know Spud particularly well? Did you cross paths at some stage?
Not particularly well, but just from working here at SEN, just that infectious character that he was had a huge impact on me just as a listener of this station. I remember when you boys were on holidays, Tim, that Jack, you and Spud would often cover this program. And one of the things that stand out and bring a smile to my face with Spud is if you guys would be on from 6 till 7 and Spud would join you after 7. And once you've worked in radio, you can almost see the run sheet that the talent are working off and you can almost feel where things are heading next. And then Spud would come either with his own run sheet or he'd just tear the one you were working off up and away he'd go. I'd just love how he'd... You know, you'd be trying to get back to the run sheet at times and Spud would just be off on his own program, and it was a good program to listen to, Spud program.
He just wanted to make it up as you went along, and even in an ad break, he'd say, all right, next we're going to do this one. Yeah, okay, yep, no worries. You bring it back from the break, he's got his hand up ready to go. Spud, he'd go in a completely different direction. You think, we just spoke about this.
It was just gold. I've got a lot of memories of sitting there chuckling away to Spud when you guys were covering breakfast or in your caretaker role that you have done so well. But the other thing I'll say about Spud, I mean, he's just about had a contribution to every little pocket of footy.
And yes.
Similar, not the same, but similar to the way that how powerful it is to have a guy like Spud championing mental health issues, to have him believing in and passionate about women's footy over the last couple of years, not just believing in it, but committing his time and energy to it with his coaching role that he's had at Haileybury, you can't underestimate how powerful that is in terms of, you know, growing the game and endorsing it. So I'd just say he's made a big contribution to women's footy with how he's tipped his passion into that over the last few years.
Powerful for the women involved or more powerful for the men to get involved with their daughters?
Both,
do you think?
Both, I'd say. As a woman involved in women's footy, when someone like that puts their hand up and wants to be involved and advocates for it and is genuinely passionate about it, it gives you a sense of, oh, we do belong here. So even if you believe it yourself, to have someone that maybe might come from the demographic that would possibly doubt it and not believe in it as passionately, it goes a long way. But like you're saying, to have an influence on those around him, because they might sit up and take notice and think, oh, hang on, if Spud thinks it's worth getting involved in and is speaking so glowingly of it. And he just lit up every time he spoke about his girls and that team at Haileybury and women's footy. Every time I'd see him, he'd light up because he'd want to tell me how his team was going, or run past me a letter that he'd written that he's sending into the AFL about the injury crisis.
He was strong about this, wasn't he? Yeah.
So, yeah, it had a huge impact, and he probably didn't really understand how big of impact that it had.
I love the Chris Fagan story yesterday. I don't know whether you read this or not, but Chris Fagan spoke about him yesterday, about how through his coaches association connection and how Spud gave him the confidence to where Chris Fagan was at a couple of years ago, to actually attack that job, take that job up there at the Brisbane Lions. And sometimes you just need somebody in your corner, don't you? Like, because despite people having really high profile positions, often people are still a little bit unsure about themselves. Sometimes you'd expect them to have the confidence, but they don't have the confidence. Sometimes you just need somebody else outside your little circle to say, hey, no, you're capable of doing this. And that can be the impetus for you to be able to apply for a job or to actually feel like you belong in that position as well. So,
and Spud probably didn't even know he was he was that person.
I don't think he did.
Fagan. No. And that's what I've thought about a lot over the last couple of days is I really hope he knew that he had this impact on so many people. And I guess that's the lesson out of it moving forward as well, is that if you have someone in your life like that or you're thinking that about someone, tell them now.
I was thinking exactly the same thing, Daisy, about how often you have a thought about somebody and, you think, oh, that bloke's doing a really good job, and you don't actually pick up the phone or send them a text and say, look, you did a really great job. There's an expectation that people who work in this business that, they're supposed to do a good job. Everybody loves good feedback. Everybody likes to hear something positive about themselves.
I think there's an assumption that people know as well, that someone with the energy and character and seemingly confidence of someone like Spud, that people would just assume he knew that he had that impact on everyone.
You were never in doubt, were you? If he was in your corner, you were never in doubt about where he sat. And the women's footy, I can think back, Daisy, to the... I remember you and he having a pretty heated conversation about it, and you disagreed with some of what he had to say at the time, but he was passionate about it to the point where he kept knocking on Gil and McLaughlin's door until he got a meeting with him. And Gil spoke about that yesterday with Jared as well. It was great listening.
Yeah, the image floating around of him running through, I'm not sure what the milestone was, but running through the banner with his daughter fully kitted out in her St Kilda outfit, socks pulled up.
Beautiful.
That is gold. And that's Spud and why he believes in that women's footy team and has put in his passion as much as he did probably down at Richmond. Is he's got it, like some people wouldn't maybe consider their daughters, I don't know what the right word is, but might not have decked her out in a full St Kilda kit to run through the banner, because at that stage in the evolution of the game, there wasn't really women's footy around yet. But there she was looking like a little mini St Kilda mascot, and the look on her face.
She was ready to play that day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it's time for this.
On SEN. Daisy.
Now, it seems to be a theme that's...
You've got mail.
...developing here, Daisy. Dear Daisy, we're expecting our first child soon.
Oh, no.
And as the father, I wanted to know if there's anything I can do to make the trip to and from the hospital as easy as possible for my partner.
Oh, this is a big thing. Everyone you speak to...
That's from Kevin out there, by the way.
I don't know. Hi, Kevin.
I need to know all this, so I'm listening intently.
Everyone you speak to has a coming home from the hospital story, it seems. Do you have one, Tim? Do you remember your first drive home from the hospital?
No, it was a walk. Oh. It was about a 50-metre walk. We live so close to the Essendon Hospital.
Well, there's a story.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have a story about coming home from the hospital, and we certainly do as well. It's a nervous time. You're going out into the big wide world for the first time, and the partner can play a massive role in that. So often dads, whether it's in my role as midwife or now that I've had kids, ask me like, what can I do? And I don't know if you're feeling this, Jack, but many will describe a feeling of not really knowing what they're getting into or a bit of helplessness.
A little bit, yeah. Tiny bit.
And the actual hands-on care is a bit individual, so I won't delve into that. But there's some practical tips I can give you about when you drive home, and these go out to Kevin as well, is that invest in the little mirrors that you put on the back of the seats that enable you to see your kid in the back seat. So this goes back to, I posted a photo when we got our car seats fitted before we had the babies, and somebody in the comments said, make sure you get the car seat mirrors. They're the things that they enable you to look in your rear vision mirror. It bounces off. You can see your kid because the newborn car seat faces backwards.
Bella,
so
yeah.
From the driver's seat or the passenger seat, you can't see them. I remember reading this comment on Instagram thinking, oh, they're right there. I'm not going to be one of those anxious parents that need to see them at all times. Like they're just there. I'm not getting the mirrors. I'm not one of those parents.
And?
Get the mirrors. Because
really?
I got in the car... And I'm looking back just within seconds, anxious that these kids aren't breathing.
Right.
And I'm looking and I'm clambering over the back and I'm anxiously yelling at Ben, can you see them? Are they okay? Are they in all right? So that's the first tip. Go and buy and fit the mirrors for your partner, Kevin. That would be my number one advice. The next one is fill up the car with fuel
right
the day that you come to the hospital for the trip home, because Ben did a lot of things right, but this is one place where he dropped the ball, and it's a point of contention that we still talk about.
Yeah.
Is that we get in the car and he's been super miling. So it's sitting, the fuel light's on, and we've got to get about 50 kilometres away from the Monash Hospital. So I'm stressed. Babies are crying. Yeah. They're due for a feed because we'd left the hospital late in the afternoon waiting for tests and all that kind of thing. So then we're at the fuel station filling up the car for, that's an extra 15 minutes. Baby's still crying. I'm sitting in the car in a world of hurt, stressing about everything. Then the petrol fumes are coming in the car, which at that point I'm certain are going to cause damage to our newborn babies. Your mind just goes to irrational places. So that's another one for Kevin. Just get that tank full. Like, these are all things that, regardless of the individual side of how you want to care for your partner on the day, Jack, you can just do these. These are practical.
I'm taking notes. I'm writing all these things down, Daze, and I'm being told that the mirrors are fantastic straight away. Alicia's telling me off the text that the mirrors are fantastic. So she's listening and I'm under pressure this morning, so I'm writing all these notes down.
I remember that trip home like nothing else. The other thing, Ben went to get the car from the car park at Monash Hospital where we had the babies. Fantastic there, I must add. And came back and he'd parked, you know, the horseshoe pickup area at a hospital?
Yes.
Yep.
He'd parked off to the side, maybe blocking the area, not in a legitimate car parking space, but he was under pressure too, right. And that's where he just pulled up. And we were getting tooted by somebody right. in a Porsche behind us, and it feels like every person is coming towards you to look at your baby, and you're convinced that they've all got some condition or disease that's going to be passed on to these precious people. You laugh, Jack.
You're a nurse, for God's sake.
I don't know if other people agree, but suddenly your mind goes to all the dangers and hazards in the world when you're suddenly walking out with a precious, two precious babies. It felt like people were running at us, and I was having to deep breathe and tell myself, "Do not run, do not run. You shouldn't run."
1-300-736-736. Horror hospital stories or trips home from the hospital. Would love to hear from you. Plus, I want to talk to you, Daze, about extra time before you finish up as well. But let's get the latest from Sportsbet. 25 past 8 on SEN Breakfast. Tim Watson, Jack Heveron, Daze Pearce is here. It's all thanks to Melbourne Airport Valet. Simply drive up and hand us the keys and we'll take care of the rest. Daze, it would be fair to say off the phone and from the text as well that your hospital story is not the only one out there. We've been inundated. There's been stacks of them. And Melinda in South Melbourne has one of her own that she'd like to share. Hello, Melinda.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Love the show. Daze, you are reminded, actually kind of wipes the story from my mind. But with my first little one, I was waiting in the hospital, wasn't exactly sure when we'd get released, and got the call from the nurses to say, time to leave. Husband was at home and gave him the call, so if you wouldn't mind coming to pick me up. And had all the nurses trying to kick me out of the room. They were waiting. And obviously, new baby's being born, so I'm standing there, child in hand, the hospital bag trying to get out. And husband gave me a call and said, "Oh, I'm really, really sorry. I brought the wrong car. It doesn't have the car seat in it." So I had to head back home, change the cars over, and come probably about a half an hour turnaround. So I would say, Jack, make sure you've got a car seat in all your cars, just in case you panic, and bring a car without a car seat to get Bob's home.
Yeah, well, hearing that story, the mirror is just the cherry on top. Make sure you get the cake first.
I know. You've got to make sure you get that right. Thank you, Melinda. I've put that on the list.
You've got a fleet of cars too, haven't you, Jack? Just make sure you just make sure you've got a baby seat in each one of them.
Tim, do not let the truth get in the way of a good story.
That's probably the only thing worse than being that kid that's standing there and you're starting to realise that your parents have forgotten to come and pick you up. To be standing there with your baby trying to pretend that, no, he's not forgotten. He's coming.
He'll be here soon.
Yeah.
He's not far away, I promise. He's not far away. Hey, Daze, we had Dennis Pagan on this morning talking about 25 years since the first extra time final. I'm not sure if you remember. I know you were listening this morning. Does it bring back some extra time memories?
Oh, does it ever. A bit like Melinda, I'd wiped this story from my mind. But hearing Dennis talk about extra time finals reminded me of an extra time prelim or semi it was in a four-team final series in the VFLW back in 2012. We're playing out at Craigieburn against St Albans. And at the end of the fourth quarter, scores level. So we go into the – and I think this is the system that the AFL now adopt for drawn finals. 5 minutes each way extra time. So that happened, being a windy day at Craigieburn, which goes without saying when you say Craigieburn. At the end of the second extra time, scores level again. So at that point, unbeknownst to us, it just goes into golden point. So end of the first 5 minutes, siren goes, swap ends, another 5 minutes. If at the end of that scores are level, which it was in this game we were playing in for Darabin, just keep going until someone scores. No siren, no change of ends, no nothing. So straight away I'm filthy because we're kicking into the wind for this extra golden point bit and we don't get to change ends. So we're going to have to kick the golden point into the wind. 35 minutes of golden point time because nobody scored in that time.
35 minutes?
Yeah, so at this point we've played an extra 45 minutes of play on top of a normal game of footy. And the ball was in our defensive 50 for a good, I reckon, 20 minutes of that time because we're kicking into a very thick breeze at Craigieburn. Repeat stoppage after repeat stoppage after repeat stoppage. We're just jumping on this thing. And I remember at times the thought going into my head, just let them kick a point. Like, let's end this. This is getting ridiculous. Like, my mind went there in my delirium of having played an extra almost two quarters. So it was almost a six-quarter game. Anyway, we didn't let them kick a point. We eventually got it out the back and went end-to-end and kicked the only goal to the into-the-wind end for the entire day, came at the 35-minute mark of golden point time. We'd been out there that long. And this, it's a bit of a folklore story floating around in VFL or Darabin circles. We'd been out there that long that all of us were busting to go to the toilet. that's a lot of time to be out there.
Yeah.
And in the excitement of kicking the winning score, I shouldn't name her, but the girl that kicked the winning goal could no longer hold on to her bladder, having been holding on for the whole 45 minutes, and might have let an entire wee out. Not
an entire wee.
I remember her coming to me, and instead of it being we're into the grand final, she said, "I've wet myself," and it wasn't just a little bit.
Isn't that just delightful?
So, we were delirious and celebrated the release of winning that game. We
was obvious.
celebrated. Like there was no tomorrow, and we played the next week like we'd celebrated like there was no tomorrow and we lost the grand final, but epic game. So, yeah, it could, if it heads that way now that the rules changed, it could be an amazing spectacle.
And I think the message behind all that is this weekend, even if you don't feel like going to the toilet at half time,
just
in preparation of what may take place late in the game, just go. Just force
you never
yourself,
know.
Just force yourself to go.
Just in case. Daze, thank you. Always nice to see you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Daze.
Hear from you a bit later on in the week. News time.